someone had just, right before we started, someone had asked about the astral projection.
The communication with the souls that passed away.
So I mean, that's a big topic. It's a really big topic. It's interesting to talk about. So let me just say something really, really quickly about that first, and then we can.
No. I would love to. We can start from that.
Sure.
You know, if that's a, because I've. I just want to say something before, it's like introduction to that. I remember that was last year when we were talking about it. Because I lost my grandma, and I had that out of body experience and connection with her.
Yeah.
On different levels. And then you shared with me, hey, I can communicate with my dad as well. And then we started that subject and going deeper into that, and yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah. I would love to share some things, and I want to hear, and I want them to hear what you would like to share, because I know I heard some of it, but probably not everything. So yeah.
Well, I guess the first thing to say is that, okay, so the astral projection and dreaming. So when you go to sleep, we very typically dream. In fact, every time you go to sleep, you always dream. And what's happening is your consciousness is taking a break, and it's disengaging from your physical body so that it can energetically reclaim its energy, get impressions from your higher self, and then bring it back to your physical body, and then you're rejuvenated, right, when you wake up. You do this every night. Every time you go to sleep, that's what happens. I'm being very general.
Absolutely.
There's a lot that happens, but anyway.
Yeah.
With astral projection, the difference is that you are conscious of the entire journey. So you never actually lose consciousness, which means that just as conscious as we are of each other right now, having this conversation, and everything is indelibly imprinted in your memory, like there's no lapse in memory, we know exactly what's happening. When you're lying down and you begin to do either a technique willfully, or even sometimes it can happen involuntarily, what happens is you are now consciously aware of the dream state, right? But when you're consciously aware of the dream state, there's a lot more control that is afforded your unlimited consciousness operating in this unlimited field of energy and information.
Yeah.
And now with your consciousness still activated while you're in the out-of-body state, you can now work. You can now do things. You can now access energetic information, consciousness information from the tapestry of information that makes up all created things. Some of that information is consciousness of people that are no longer in a physical body, who are doing their thing, who are there, they exist, but they just no longer are physicalized.
Yeah.
So now you're operating on the
different same universe.
Plane. You're operating on the same plane. Plain as they are, so now you can communicate. It's really very logical, in the sense that we use radios every single day when we're, well, some people don't, but if you're in your car, you switch on a radio to your favorite station. All you're doing is you're tuning the radio to a very particular frequency band, and now you can hear the music.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just being conscious of your brain, of your not your brain, your consciousness, right? It's just being aware of your consciousness changing frequencies, so now it's able to access information on that frequency band. I would almost want to leave it at that. There's way more we could say, but that's what's happening. So your loved ones, the ones that have passed away, higher conscious beings, evolved entities. These beings, they exist, but just on a different frequency band above physical matter. And we have the ability, if we so choose, to develop that ability to access that band, that frequency band, and gain information that is helpful to our lives, right? So that's what it is. And luckily I've been able to, now I'm no pro. I can't do this every single day. Like I'm not a master at this or anything. So don't get like, I'm just a regular guy here. But I have worked out a way that I can very often get this thing to work and be able to control my out of body state. So I can do things like, oh, I want to visit this place. Oh, I want to see what my dad's up to. Oh, I want to explore. I want to see this. I need an answer to this problem in my life. And so I've been able to do that. And I've been able to speak to my dad many, 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 many times. And it's every time it happens, it's an amazing experience. Just so powerful, like really, really, really powerful.
Yeah.
No mushrooms, no drugs, no nothing.
No, see,
none this of that. This is completely separate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy you shared that because.
You're welcome, Steph.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for answering all of that. You know, it's like I notice also that the more deeply on the fruits you are and the more the cleaner you are becoming, that the more you can tune in that different dimension, and you can really reconnect with the souls that are out of this world because they're still alive.
Yeah.
They're just in a different dimension. So you can still tune in. I had that with my grandma when she passed away. Since she passed away in Europe, so in Poland. So I didn't have connection with them at all. And the only thing I knew, she passed because she came to me. So and she basically visited me, saying like, "I'm all good. Don't worry. I'm in a safe space," and I love you, and I felt a hug basically she gave me, and then my mom told me that she passed away, and I'm like, "Mom, I know. But grandma came to me like 2 hours ago, and she's like, this is where exactly when she passed away." So I experienced that when I was very little for the first time. I was just like looking in the mirror. I believe that mirrors are very like powerful and potent, and we can like, there are like channels, right? To the different dimensions too. So you can observe and see a lot of things you can't see on a daily basis. So I remember looking at the mirror and two faces showed up behind me, and I got super scared. I got cold, I've never seen that before. And then I explained to my mom what I saw, and my mom, I'm so happy that she didn't laugh at me. She was just more like, "Okay, I believe you. What did you see?" And I explained like all the featured stuff, and she said, "Wow, that's interesting, because you just saw my cousin, like my mom's cousin that passed away. He died due to that motorcycle accident or something like that. And I've never met him. I've never even seen him. And I saw his face and everything, and he was there to tell me something, a couple of things. And I was on fruit back then. That's why I told you when I was done intuitively following fruitarianism, when I was a little girl. And I believe that tuned me in more in that. And I think that's why I craved also more fruits, because I was high most of the time, and I never was drawn to take drugs, mushrooms, or anything like that, because I didn't need to.
Yeah.
And connect. So when you connect with your dad, where is he now, right now?
Well, it's been several months since last time I spoke with him. So
yeah.
I where is he? That's an impossible question to ask to answer, because where does not make a difference. There is no where.
Everywhere. He's
It's you're operating on a frequency band where locations are accessed at the speed of thought. So whatever impression you have, you snap to that impression immediately. There's no time delay. So there's no where, but it's more of a presence that you can call upon and receive and ask information and have an energy exchange whenever you want. So the last time I was with him, it was more so him just smiling and being with me, like holding my hand and kind of just moving through the atmosphere in the sky, giving me a hug and me feeling his embrace. And I was just looking at him, just like reminding myself of what he looked like. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very simple exchange the last time he visited and I was out of body. And again, it sounds like I'm describing a dream to you. If you've ever had an astral projection, there is a fundamental, profound difference between a dream and an astral projection.
Yes.
They are completely
different. Aware of everything.
Yeah. It's not the same. But it's one of those things. It's difficult for people to know unless they actually have the experience. Kind of like, you know, if someone's blind, good luck describing to them what the color purple is. You can't know. You have to experience what the color purple is, and then that's what it is, right? So I understand that it sounds like I'm being a bit woo woo with this. Look, you know, I'll describe the very first time this happened. Now, what I should say, anybody can do this, right? So it is true, of course. The cleaner your temple is, the cleaner your vehicle is, or the cleaner your instrument is. I've heard it described this way. The cleaner your instrument is, the more beautiful the music is that spirit can make by using you as an instrument. All right.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of what I personally am doing and what I'm trying to teach on my channel is we're looking for every conceivable advantage to clean the body temple out so that the higher forces, the higher spiritual forces have an easier time flowing through you as a channel.
Yeah.
To be able to unlock as much human potential as possible while we're here. Okay. Yeah. So that's what's happening. The diet and the lifestyle and the cleansing, all this is means to a different end, not just health. That's just a wonderful byproduct.
It's like, now, sir,
let me just finish the idea. Just quick.
Please.
So, that does not mean to say that you can have the worst diet conceivable and not be able to astral project. Tons of people astral project and they're on no such diet, not even close to what we're doing. You can be on an anything goes diet and still be able to astral project. It's just that you make it more, you give yourself an easier time to be able to focus and to calm your mind, which is very necessary when you're astral projecting. So if you've got stimulants running through your system and your nervous system is firing on edge 24/7, this makes it a bit more difficult, right? So the more calm your system is, the more at ease your whole metabolic chemistry is, right? You just give yourself an easier time. But that does not mean that you are restricted or barred from astral projection if you have the worst of the worst of the worst diet. So people listening, take comfort in that, knowing that you can do this whenever you want. And once you start getting better at it, the dietary changes will be a natural reflection of your yearning for higher spiritual prowess. Okay. So there's that. And the very first time, just as a last thought, and then of course you had one more thing you wanted to say. So hold that thought. But the last thing I'll say about this is I want to make sure that I'm being very logical and methodical about these types of things. So the very first time I astral projected, I was in my room and I woke up, okay? Woke up in my astral body. So not in my physical body anymore, but my astral body. And I realized I was staring, I was this close to the ceiling. Right? So staring at the ceiling. I'm like, this is so weird. I mean, I know I'm in bed right now, but why is my nose so close to the ceiling? And then once I figured out what was happening, the astral form just kind of reoriented. And then I'm staring at my unconscious body just lying there in my room, in my bed. And for anyone who's astral projected, you look far uglier when you're sleeping than you think. I was very unflattering. I'm like, is that what I look like when I'm sleeping? Man, it's so weird. Anyway,
Was comfortable out there?
Say it again, sorry.
Was it comfortable out there?
It must have been. If I was astral projecting, I must have been comfortable. So what the first thing I did was I didn't get excited. I didn't just go start exploring the sun and the moon and all that. I stayed in my room and I said, okay, Eli, this is awesome. I'm astral projecting. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around to my room and catalog exactly where little items are in my room. Okay, I left my shorts on the counter here. I've got a sock right there on the floor, right in that corner over there. I've got a foam roller over there. I've got a shoe in that corner. I made very meticulous detail, recorded very meticulous details about my room that I didn't really pay attention to. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to remember that this is exactly where these things are. Yeah. And then I'm going to look at my lifeless, very ugly body sleeping there. I'm going to go back into it. And then when I wake up in that body, I'm going to rush back and double check, are all those things exactly where I saw them? And then I would confirm to myself that I was, in fact, not dreaming. I was not in a made-up world. I was in this physical reality in a ghost form, in a ghost body, right? Ghost. And I was experiencing the physical world in an altered state of consciousness. And so sure enough, that's what I did. Once I had cataloged enough things in my room, I said, okay, Eli, I am ready to go back into my physical body. Here I go, right? And went back into my physical body, woke up now with my physical eyes, was super excited. I'm like, oh my God, man, you're aware of that whole process. Run around, go and see, okay, the shoe was there, the Kleenex was there, the shorts were there, the shoe was there. Everything's exactly as I remember it. I was not dreaming. That was an astral projection. And from that moment forth, all of a sudden, your entire conception of what you're doing in your physical body is completely different for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, now you know tangibly in your own experience that you are not your body. You are something far greater.
Far beyond.
Far, far, far beyond. Because if you can exist as you with all of your experiences, all of your impressions still there, yet you are staring at a lifeless lump of physical matter that is supposed to be you, then what does that mean? It means that you are you, but that you has nothing to do, well, very little to do with your physical body, right? These are two separate entities. They're inextricably woven together while you're alive, yes, but these are just vehicles. So when you astral project, you become very distinctly aware of that reality, and there is nothing that you can hear from the rest of the world that will shake that conviction because you know it to be true. So that is one of the powerful, powerful, powerful bits of knowledge that you gain from this type of endeavor into the spiritual world. That will never happen ever. I shouldn't say never. Okay. Mm-hmm. Steph is asking, when you astral project, can other spirits enter and take over your body? Okay. No, I will say no. Some people, depending on how overwrought and overcome they are with stress and fear and worry and torture and like, so people that come from, let's just say, like satanic abuse covens, right, who grow up being abused and sexually exploited, they're doing the organ eating, you get it, right? You get the worst of the worst of the worst. That type of wildly low energy might start to have a resonance with other very, very, very low entities that they can affix to if they so choose and if they so let them in. You still have to accept this union with these types of low, really, really low entities. But by and large, I would say this is almost impossible for the average person, because when you're consciously astral projecting, you don't have a choice but to be in a calm state of mind, really, because if you're not, you can't astral project. It's one of those things. If you're fearful, the fear state is an energy, is a frequency of energy that is not compatible with the phenomenon of astral projection. So you simply can't do it. If you're fearful or anxious, what happens is you just zip right back to your body and you wake up. So this is a fear that plagues the astral projection community, and it's really not something that you need to ever worry about. The safeguards to keep your consciousness intact and affixed to only your body are so strong. Nothing's going to come in and break that unless you want that to happen or really invite it to happen with extremely low energy forces. So it's not something to worry about. Sorry, I spoke for a while there. So
and it's okay. You know, I'm happy that you shared everything you need to share.
Yeah, I just want to flesh it out and give people the right context, because, you know, the context is everything, right? So
of course, you know, thank you for sharing. I'm so happy that you are sharing all these things, and we need to share it when it's the right moment to do it, because there is not always like that. You'll not always feel the way you feel, right? Sometimes you feel, oh, okay, it's not time. It's not right time, energy to do this. So yeah. It's a very special moment that you shared so much. So thank you for that. And I'm pretty sure everyone is appreciated for that as well. You explained it perfectly. And I love the fact that I'm not one and only who experienced things like this. And everyone like who knows me, and I've been telling some of my friends what I've been experiencing with my clients, they were just like, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that I'm not one and only freak in a positive way. You know, we have so many beautiful things and abilities that we still have so much to discover. And this is just the beginning for us, right? For both of us. Mm-hmm. Where we already can do that, connecting, right, with other spirits, what can be next? Like, this is so exciting. The one thing I was just wanted to share is I have a lot of experience when I was, like, young, because I was so innocent and I was following this fruitarian diet without even knowing that it's a fruitarian thing. I just discovered a lot. Back then, just seeing all the, I don't know, like looking at someone's house, I didn't need to be inside knowing how it looks, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
My soul was traveling all over the place, and I could like contact my friends over the phone. Back then, we didn't have like, you know, iPhones and stuff like that. So we connected, you know, just through the letters. And I remember writing a letter to one of my friends saying that I know how your room looks like, and she never shared that with me. You know, I just told her how it looks, and she was just like amazed. She's just like, how do you know that? And you know the color of the walls, that you know the curtain is there, you know, this is there. That's the whole thing, that you can also travel with your body wherever you really want to, and you don't need to be there physically because your energy is there. It's like how I communicate like with my family, where that they're up like apart, right? They're not here in Hawaii. So how I connect with them, I'm just sending them my energy. And, you know, basically I can now go through my home back to Poland and just like seeing everything and touching everything right now. And even like touching my mom, my dad, you know, just like giving them some directions. Hey, I'm there. And you can still connect through this, even experiences with the souls that are still on this planet and they're alive and they're with you. So this is an amazing experience. Imagine to connect with someone that you are under the same frequency and do that astral projecting thing, but in a way of being alive on this planet instead of like, you know, going to other dimensions.
Someone had asked in the comments if black tourmaline can help to make a better astral projection. It very well could. It very well could, because you're dealing with energy. So if the energy around you is polluted, so if you're around tons of Wi-Fi signals and a 5G and a 4G and a this G and a that, and all sorts of other stuff, it can interfere, right? You would have a better shot at astral projecting.
Yeah.
In the woods, you know, you don't have to go to the woods to astral project. Mm. I'm just saying, you know, you'd have a better shot if you were out there and you were very comfortable and whatnot. So yes, of course, anything where you're helping to clean the energy is probably going to be helpful for you. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you need tourmaline to be able to astral project? No, you can have every single time I've done it, I've had very, very powerful astral experiences. It has not been because of the use of in the room. So take that for what it is.
Yeah, because, you know, the energy is in you. People base their energy on crystals and gems and other things, you know, where actually the energy and the connection is going through you. You are the channel. You don't need any other things. They can be helpful to clearing up the space, especially if we believe in them, right? But you are the most powerful antenna. You are the most powerful, like, frequency and channel, right? That we can. And it's like with the plant. If you water the plant in a bad quality water, or you don't water at all, they're going to die, right? So it's same with us. If we don't water ourselves with fruits, and which this is basically the best water to hydrate yourself with, right? Not even like just the basic water that they teach us to drink, and then you're hurting your kidneys because you drink too much. Because people are drinking enormous amount of water. But anyway, drinking just juices, you're hydrating yourself on a cellular level. That's why you are glowing that later on, you know, and you can experience, you can open up your body to other energies, right? And you can just become one of the most powerful, potent being and connect.
Stuff like that, the simple stuff, just like a simple fruit juice, simple meals, simple diets. This is the kind of stuff that really starts to unlock both physical and spiritual energy. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about earlier was how sometimes the raw vegan culture or the raw plant-based movement, which has all the best intentions and is doing a really, really good thing. Of course, we wouldn't want to be without that right now. And, you know, my channel the stuff I teach is on my channel, it is fairly different from a lot of other approaches. And I think the reason for that is because what we're trying to do is we're trying to distill the main tenets, right, of the elements that govern vitality. Just trying to distill that to its basics, so that we're not adding undue stresses to the body, so as to make us sick or weaken us or deplete our vital reserves. And what I'm saying is, with the raw food culture, what I've noticed is, you know, if you go into YouTube, go on Google, whatnot, just take a look. Raw food recipe, raw food diet, sample raw vegan meals. What you're gonna find is, I'm gonna try to encapsulate what I find is the difficulty or the challenge with the raw food community, is that it's exporting the same love of stimulating, hyper-stimulating taste that the world has on conventional food fare, okay? And they're exporting that same adulterated, like hyper-stimulated taste into the raw food community and trying to simulate all of the same things with raw food, okay? This I find is a problem, because in order to do that, you need to create a whole slew of enzymatically incompatible, poorly combined foods that are very, very stimulating, except they're just raw and plant-based. And so you can do that. So you can get that same kind of hyper-stimulated mouthfeel, right, with raw food, just by using human ingenuity.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. However, what you cannot avoid is the limitations of human physiology and human digestion, okay? So we are physiologically designed to be able to digest single item meals, most ideally, but if not a single item meal, the more combinations we add to a meal, the more difficult the digestion. This is something that we talk about all the time. I'm sure you do, I do, on your consultations, on your channel, on my channel, on my consultations. We always talk about this kind of stuff. With the conventional kind of raw vegan meals, you're always doing things like mixing lots of seasonings, lots of fats, and lots of carbohydrate-rich food all in the same shebang, probably with blended stuff or liquids, just all in the same thing. And we do that in order to get the same flavor sensations as you would when you're eating a lasagna.
Yeah.
Or that you would when you're eating an actual pizza. Yeah. That you would when you're eating an actual hamburger, right? Yeah. So we're trying to simulate that in the raw food world.
But it's all about simplicity.
Yeah. But what really should be happening is we should be moving to the raw food. We should be moving to a raw food lifestyle because we are evolving and reigniting the sensitivities of our tastes, and making them come alive again. So alive that you do not have any need, that you do not have recourse to the madly, wildly stimulating tastes.
Why you can taste. We taste things differently. Eating cucumber, simple organic cucumber. We don't need add seasoning to it.
Right.
I can taste cucumber as a sweet, juicy, and salty thing, you know, that satisfies me fully. But someone else will tell me that it tastes like a cardboard. I'd be super happy to be on a full fruit, but the detox is so far too aggressive on my body. I've been losing enamel, so I've had to skip on all the fruits and things like tomatoes. Yes, because they can be acidic. That's why you want to focus more on sweet fruits and always pick a good quality fruit. You know, like make sure that you have a ripe fruit. Rather than just like, oh, that papaya will get better when you leave it on a countertop. No, if it's picked too early, your fruit will never get better. It will never ripen. So you want to make sure that you have ripe fruit. That's why people, when they do detox, they do it seasonally because they use their seasonal fruit, right? That is, yeah, like grapes. Grapes are always ripe. You don't need to worry about grapes. You don't need to worry about cherries. You don't need to worry about blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. They're always good. I mean, raspberries can be sour sometimes. So you need to be careful with the food combining as well, because sometimes people are like combining their sweet fruit with strawberries, let's say. Sure, if strawberries are sweet, but if they're acidic, you're combining in the wrong way again. You combine acids with the sweet. Right? So they can cause fermentation again. So just be careful with that, because I believe detox is for everyone, guys. It's not like it's not for, because I'm too sensitive. Well, your sensitive transition, go slow. Avoid certain things if they irritate you too much because they're so astringent. So I would just avoid these fruits and just follow vegetables for a while until you transition and just gradually add more fruit, right?
The quality of food is obviously very important, right? That's something that we always have to take into consideration. But in terms of the cons of the conventional raw vegan approach or raw plant-based diet approach, even with conventionally grown produce, you can still train over time your system, your sensitivities to really, 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 really enjoy those tastes and flavors, regardless of the quality of right? That's a kind of like a different thing. So how should we go about doing that? Because in a conversation like this, you know, we can say try to avoid those things, but we have to give people just like some simple constructive tools or rules of thumb to be able to do that. So if you guys are out there and you're looking at staying raw plant-based, okay, what you want to look out for when you're doing these meal combinations and whatnot, you want to look out for a couple of things. You want to watch out for A, adding too much liquidy hydration to your meals, like water. The water and watery stuff, you throw water in smoothies and ice in smoothies and whatnot. You want to try to avoid adding water to your meals. Okay, that's one thing, particularly in smoothies.
Okay? Yeah.
You also want to try to avoid, anytime you're using any of the fats, what you do not want to do is you do not want to add any kind of either sweeteners or other fruits into that mix. You never want to do this. Fat, protein, carbohydrates, right? These are your macronutrients. And each one of them requires a different digestive chemistry to be able to digest properly, okay? Now, if you take all of those three macronutrients require different digestive chemistry in order to digest properly.
Yeah.
Your body can only, when you have a meal, your body can
have
one type of digestive chemistry. So you can imagine if, let's just say, two things require the complete opposite digestive chemistry in order to break down. You eat them at the same time. Your body has to choose something down the middle. It has to release a chemistry that says, all right, I'll try to digest a bit of this and a bit of that, because it can only do it in one shot. So what inevitably happens is indigestion, fermentation, because things are being digested incompletely. And the current raw plant-based approach, with all the fantastic recipes and the meals and you know what I'm talking about, the really eye-catchy ones, oh my God, this is so wonderful, like this is lasagna, this is a pizza, yay, and everyone's so happy, you know, the colors and everything. They show you these, the photographers taking
too
these
much
amazing
of
photos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful.
However,
yeah, basically what you do is you are inviting indigestion every single time we make these crazy combinations.
Yeah.
The reason we do it, again, I'll reiterate, is so that we can simulate what our old diet tasted like. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
people need to pick between, you always have a choice, or between your flavor, you want to experience a full flavors experience, whatever, or you want to feel good in your stomach and listen to your body rather than just the thought process about how amazingly can taste, when you put all the ingredients in your mouth and explosions of flavors. So let's go to another question. Zone 9, how long do you guys think the transition to eating like this should be? So in my personal experience, I do transition protocols for my clients. It all depends on individual. Some people need more time, some people less time. It's all about emotional aspect as well, and spiritual, emotional, and physical. So all depends what's your background as well. If you are coming up from the standard American diet, you want to transition a little slower rather than jumping in, right? And all depends on your health conditions as well. So, and someone said, an obsession to focus on fruit quality. No obsession.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't feel, do you feel like you're obsessed about the food quality?
To the casual observer who learns what we do or I do, it would seem that it's an obsession, but it's really just, is a deer obsessed with grass? No, it's just what deers
eat. Right?
So, yeah. My buddy, I got a buddy, a stuntman, one of my fellow stunt guys, Hubert, he says, what about raw meat? And what's interesting is that with raw meat, you're out in the wild, you catch a deer, you catch a slow pig or something, and it's simple. It's simple. It's just one thing that you're eating. So at least your body can identify it as something in particular and say, let's get all of our digestive energy or chemistry, excuse me, into digesting that particular piece of tissue. And in many cases, if it's a choice in terms of how complicated the digestion is between that, you know, you're out in the wild, you're surviving, you find that dying pig and you eat it, right? And some of the combinations in the conventional, you know, plant-based world, man, it's like, it's hard to tell which one.
Yeah.
You might be inclined to say, yeah, maybe that pig is probably a bit better than whatever that combination is.
The easiest example for, who's that name was? Hubert.
Hubert, yeah.
You know,
what's up,
go to the kindergarten or any place where you have a lot of kids there and give them just a live chicken or give them a fruit and see are able to like take that chicken and tear apart like the carnivore creatures would do.
Yeah,
you know, the reaction, the instinct is following the beauty of the fruit. When I was little, I was following fully fruit diet, and without my parents knowing it, I was hiding other food. I didn't want to eat anything else. And I was hiding because I was just like feeling that I'm like doing something crazy, which is actually natural. Now my parents are actually, my mom is just like, she even said, sorry for feeding you with all that meat and dairy. If I knew that this is the real food, she was feeding me with plenty of fruits. That's why I have that variety and I had that ability to do that as well. But, but I also was pushed to do other things. Because their beliefs. So I didn't follow. So I'm not the only one who is different, you know, in this world. We are all the same. We are frugivore species, and this is proven. Dr. Morse talks about it a lot. We talk about it a lot. You can learn from Eli's YouTube channel a lot about it. And his food.
Sorry.
No, the digestive system. We don't have like multiple stomach. You know, like we have like a one stomach that is taking care of simple sugar, you know, that's designed to do it. That's why we go to the bathroom. Believe me or not, you should go to the bathroom after each meal. Someone asked me how many times you go to the bathroom. If I eat 5 times a day, I go to the bathroom 5 times a day.
Question here. Thank you so much for your counsel. And how do I overcome cravings for sweet tasting food late at night? I would say... Don't overcome that. If you have cravings for sweet tasting things, then recognize that you like sweet tasting things for a reason, because you're responding to what your physiology wants. So eat sweet things if you have to, but those sweet things are things like fruits. So if you have a strong craving for something sweet in the evening, go eat a watermelon. Nothing wrong with that. Eat some cherries. Eat some fruit, right? That's super, super, super sweet, and it's not going to hurt you. And when you do things like that for long enough, eventually what happens is your body starts to regulate enough that you maybe one day don't want food as late because you're a bit more satisfied. You know, you've got a bit less of the toxic hunger kind of recurring and giving you false impressions of what you want, right? So this is a slow process, right? We talk about transitioning, and we are a plant eating species, a frugivorous species, but we're all the same in that sense, but we're completely different because our species has gone through a long, long, long history of completely adulterating our entire genetic makeup just with all of these awful practices that we've done in the past, right? Eating to survive and way out of our natural
and it's habitat. But it's all about in our tissues as well. Like our cells remember what happened in the past, in the previous generation, guys. So everything you are actually hydrating with, all the cells, they're opening up the past as well. You're carrying all the obstructions from the through all the generations. So they remember your history, what you went through, what you're, you know, great-great-grandpa went through, whatever, grandma, you know, all these aspects, that's what it's genetics for. That's why we do iridology for it as well. So you can see all that stuff and obstacles later on that you need to detox because they never done that before. So you are like, right, even on a bigger right here because you're doing something really critical and like a really huge change for the generations to come. So you are actually can rebuild and hydrate and you can like, you know, coming back to the beautiful stuff that you just mentioned about how we treated our body.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is that because we've done all of this stuff in our past, don't take it hard on yourself that you require longer transitions because it takes time. It takes time for your body to receive the right signal from you as the commander of your vehicle. Now you're changing the nature of the nutrition that comes in. So it takes time for your body to adjust and fight the comfortable habits that it's had for not only your entire lifetime, but for the entire lifetime of your parents and whatnot. So this can take time. So someone was asking, oh, okay, how do I avoid these like food sensitivities? My teeth start to hurt. Scale back. Scale back, right? Just like take a step back. You don't have to be, and you shouldn't be dogmatic if your body is not ready for it, right? Yeah. You want to make slow transitions. Yeah. Use more vegetables, more leafy greens, more whatever it is, carrots and radishes and all the wonderful things that you can find in the plant-based world. So just take
remembering
it easy, you know,
how this works with organic products.
Yeah, of course, right? You do not need to, and I don't recommend that people just jump right into like a fruit-based lifestyle. Like
no one would ever recommend that.
What I do or you know exactly how I've done it, exactly how you've done it. Yeah. So everyone's at different places in terms of where, how encumbered the body is and what kind of things we're trying to overcome from the habits of the past.
Yeah.
So that transition can be years in the making for some people and months in the making for some people.
Yeah.
So everyone's at a different place in that sense.
Different.
So don't be too hard on yourself when it doesn't work right away.
Yeah.
If things are going bad, you scale back. You just scale back a little bit and then make slower transitions by increasing the amount of raw fruit or whatnot, little by little, in addition to all the supplementing things, the nuts, the seeds, you know, the leafy greens, the cruciferous vegetables, all that kind of stuff.
Can I get all nutrients from fruit alone? Oh, yes, thank you so much. Okay, I read it already. Can one get all the nutrients from fruit alone? Yes, of course. Once you fix everything in a body that needs to be fixed and clean up the main channels of elimination with our kidneys, you know, your colon and your skin, you're opening up your skin, it's our third kidney, then you can definitely have all the nutrients from the fruit alone unless you suffer from malabsorption. That's another thing that you want to focus on too and fixing out. The mucus plaque needs to be released, removed from the body, right? In order to absorb all the nutrients from the fruit alone. So I believe you can, if you have a good access to a good quality fruit as well, after all of that, right? So if we wouldn't have a good access to a good quality fruit, guys, we would suffer by just being on fruits. But it looks like everything works so far, and I feel amazing. Eli looks great and in a really physical state as well. Like he performs all over the place, jumping like a monkey. I climb the trees. That's all I don't know. I'm just kidding. But I'm very active person as well. I do 10 things at the same time during the day, and you still have energy in the evening. So sometimes I need to put myself down with some fat or even salad to just calm myself down because the energy is just like up to the roof.
You know, in answering that question, you always try to boil it down to the really obvious analogies and examples that they can use. I'll use my obsession with giraffes once again. Imagine one giraffe asking another giraffe, hey, I'm worried I'm not getting enough of what I need from these leaves. Should I be worried? Should I be incorporating some more protein powder, or should I be getting some, you know, some clamshells in the evening? What about, you know, what about maybe? Nobody worries about this in the entire animal kingdom. Nobody. Only humans have these types of questions, right? It's good to ask why. Why would humans have some sort of diet that they have to reach to every conceivable, remotely edible substance in the entire, on the entire planet for them to be healthy? Whereas all other animals seem to be perfectly fine eating one, two, three, four, a minimal range of things that only they're suited to eat. Why would they be, why would God curse only human beings to have to go to the depths of the ocean and the heights of the atmosphere to collect birds from the sky and fish from the deep ocean and squids from, and
I love know, that.
Why would we be cursed with that type of diet? Yeah. Where we need to do all of it, you know, and the roots and the nuts and the fruits.
But the name of the fruits, Eli, even like a breadfruit, it's a bread. The sentences, the words are taken based on fruit. Like all the bread, like bread, it's made out of flour, okay? But there is a fruit that it's a breadfruit, and it's a great substitute to someone who craves bread, really bread, you know? That's how starchy it is, and it's like really, really good for you, and you can cook it, bake it.
Yeah, just to finish that idea, so I'm like completing the idea for the person that was asking.
So just trying to
stay on track with it. So yes, we realize that if we take that question and we apply it to all other examples of life, we see that no other example of life has these problems. And we have to ask why, and human beings are no different. So we should, by all means, be able to eat what you're naturally designed to eat without any nutritional problems. And it is the case. It's just that because of, again, all the damage we've done in our past, we have complicated the eating scenario. But once we go through enough of a reform where we come back home to our natural instincts and natural sensitivities, then all of a sudden these things take care of themselves as harmoniously as the giraffe eating leaves for their entire life and being fine, as harmoniously as the chipmunk out there is just eating nuts in the field forever, and it's perfectly fine, right? We can really put ourselves at ease knowing that the Creator did not curse you to have to source everything on the planet, right? Creatures are not designed this way. Anywhere, and humans aren't either.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have this discussion for, you know, to go back and forward, to exchange the experiences, because, you know, we both may have the same journey, like a similar journey we're on, but again, there's a lot of different experiences, or the same experiences, we can agree or not, and we can complete something, so... thank you for that. I am so appreciative for that as well. Someone said, I've been transitioning for 6 months now, but every time I go fully raw for like a week, I lose very noticeable amount of weight. What do you guys think possible reasons for that?
Let's see here. So, when you give your body the instruction, it's always a funny thing. I'm losing weight. What could be the cause? The cause is because you are giving your body direct instructions, very clear instructions that you want it to do a certain thing. When you start reforming your diet, you give your body very clear instructions that it is time to start cleaning house and detoxing. So what does your body do in response to that? It starts cleaning house and detoxing. There is nothing you can do about it. That is exactly what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Now, weight loss might run contrary to our personal hangups about body image, but Mother Nature and the intelligence that rules your body couldn't give a crap about your personal adulterated hangups about the egotistical way we aesthetically look. It is going to simply reproduce the results of the instructions that you give it. And if you tell your body it is now time to fashion a new human being and I want to reform myself to bring myself to a higher level of health. That is exactly what Mother Nature will do. And the first thing that happens when you give it those instructions is weight loss, inevitably, because disease is weight. All right, let me say that one more time. Disease is extra weight on your body. Disease is has a physical weight that you can weigh on a scale. And that weight is locked in your body, in people's bodies who have not done dietary reform yet. And that weight must go if you want to reclaim health.
And then you rebuild, after a little bit.
And so when you lose weight and it's contrary to your particular, to what you're accustomed to seeing in the mirror, if you're telling me, I'm rejoicing, right? That's amazing. That's amazing news.
Yeah.
It might not be great for the person who's losing the weight because they have this hang up of what they look like, but what nobody knows is that very few people on planet Earth know what they weigh. Almost nobody actually knows what they weigh because most people on this planet are walking around with 15 to 20 pounds or more of extra, and I'm not even going to use the word weight, of extra disease on their body.
Yeah.
Okay. So when people, it's the funniest question that I get asked very often. Eli, how do I clean up my diet and go plant-based, raw plant-based, eat these wonderful things and avoid the weight loss? It's like, okay, how do I become a professional baseball player and never practice? It's impossible. What do you want me to say? How do I bench press 1,000 pounds without doing bench press? Impossible. How do I become healthier without losing weight? Impossible.
You're always gonna lose weight, but you will never look like a stick. You just remember that you're gonna lose the weight in a healthy way because the body knows what to do. You just need to trust the process. And like you just said it beautifully about the way, like people keep asking you, your clients, how to do this, that, and how to not to lose weight. I get the same questions from you and beautiful people. And, you know, the thing is to accept the process and learn about it and trust, right? Because if you don't trust, you won't be able to even detox properly. You won't be even able to rebuild your body later on.
Yeah.
You won't. It's all about, it's here, you know? So you just need to open up and lock that door and just like enter without a fear, because fear is the worst. So if you fear of something, that's going to happen. Even worse, right?
Yeah.
And that's stuck in the same place. Would you like to add anything else to that, or you want me to?
We've learned to have a fantastic lack of respect for the wisdom that our body gives us. It's funny, you know, we'll do something where we'll clean out our systems, we'll start introducing good elements of nutrition into the diet, and then feel amazing, but notice that we're starting to lose a little bit of weight. And then that's the main hang up. That's like, oh my God, something must be wrong. I'm losing weight. It's like, but wait a minute. You said you feel fantastic and you're feeling good and feeling clean. Nature isn't deceiving you. It's doing something right. Our body gives us very accurate bits of information, but sometimes it can be hard to hear exactly what it's saying.
BMI, all these measurements, all these statistics are based on unhealthy people. We don't really know what the really health weight is. You know what I mean? It's about how you feel. It's about how you look. And it's about your, like, the way health looks like to me, and I think to most people, that where you don't feel your body at all, right? You feel like you're flying without any obstacles. You just, like, everything is perfect. It flows perfectly through you. So that's how you should feel. And if you feel anything that it's not there, then you know that it needs to be fixed. But that's how it is. So I always ask my clients, you know, trash your scale. You don't need scale for now. You know, like you don't need to check on your, because people start like having issues with controlling their weight obsessively. And then they're telling me I'm losing weight. Then they started binging on food. They started like on food in general, because they're like, let's say I crave McDonald's. They're going through all the detox and then they go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of, yeah.
You know, there have been a couple times when I've been on a fast, okay, on a fast, and I gained weight, right? Now, that's technically impossible, right? Am I going to start freaking out that my body is broken or what? No.
Trust.
Yeah, it happened. My body's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. You just trust that. When people have a fever or they're sick,
yeah,
and they lose their appetite, they start freaking
for
out.
For a reason.
Like, oh, my appetite's gone. Oh, but I need to eat. No. No, you don't. No, that's the last thing you need to eat. Your body is screaming at you to stop eating.
Yeah.
And we disrespect our bodies by not listening to the obvious signs and signals that it gives us, right? So it's a very
like
interesting.
Stop eating, human. Right? When you feel satisfied. Same thing.
Yeah.
Stop eating when you're satisfied. But people don't feel that reaction. They don't have that intuition. It's like, oh, you don't wanna, like, covered with so many acidic layers. Will you agree with me that you can gain weight after eating one particular fruit every day for, let's say, 2 months? I experienced that, guys. And guess what fruit is that?
Durian, yes. Yeah.
I got chubby. And it wasn't like fat or anything. No.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna get chubby. Because it's...
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I eat, like, seriously, like, nothing but durian for, like, two months. Yeah. Man, I will never do that again. I passed that already.
You definitely can. Hey, anytime we're taking in way more energy than we need, we're probably looking at some sort of weight gain. And fat-rich foods just make that more likely, whether it's... It doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's from the plant-based world, animal world. You take in more energy than your body can deal with. Yeah, you're gonna do two things. You're gonna put on weight.
Yeah.
Either like non-harmful, just well.
It all it gone quickly, fat. You know. It was
or disease.
Yeah. All
the put on one of those.
Yeah, we got another question, Eli. Are you ready?
Sure.
Whispers. I've done so much cleansing, but I tend to have binge eating crisis with cooked junk food. Any tips? Would you like to
repeat
that one?
Yes. When you have cravings for cooked junk food stuff, temporarily find some replace. This is kind of where the plant-based approach, right, the raw vegan approach can be useful. So let's just say you have untenable cravings for something like some cooked, fried, greasy, whatever. In that case, reaching for something that's, yeah, probably poorly food combined, but kind of gives you the same type of satisfaction that is a raw plant-based.
Yeah.
That can help at least start to chip away at your body's sensitivity to things that are at least not fried and cooked and adulterated or coming from flour products and whatnot. So that's something you can do. So find a replacement. Find something that satisfies you and just quickly eat that. And then once you're satisfied, then you're satisfied. You know what I mean? I found that bananas and dates, crushed bananas and then soft, like soaked dates, that will blast through any food craving. That will just blast right through it. I use that as an example because I'm talking about me and my experience. It doesn't have to be fruit only. It can be any plant-based whatever, right? But if you're trying to avoid cooked food, then that's something that you do.
Yeah.
Another thing that you could do is just make sure that you're being very, very careful about, well, I guess it depends. Your evening meals, try to make those evening meals a little bit earlier in the day. So like finish eating a little bit earlier in the day so that you have good time to digest properly before you go to bed. And so the next day, you're not dealing with like the ultra toxic hunger. And that sets you up for a better start for the morning the day after, right? To be able to make better. It's interesting. Sometimes if you eat really late, it's odd, but you will be more ravenously hungry earlier the next day than if you stop eating earlier the previous evening. Then all of a sudden you might be more sustained and calmer for a longer period the next day. It's strange how that can work. Anyway, there are lots of ways to approach that question. How do I avoid cravings? One of the best ways that I found to just avoid cravings is to just man up.
Get stronger.
No, but find a replacement. Find a replacement, right? Just something that gives you satiety that is at least less refined or less not cooked or whatnot. And in whatever way that comes, and then just use that temporarily until your body learns, and then you can slowly start making tweaks to make it less and less and less.
And always ask, it's good always to ask questions, you know, ask the body, hey, is it what you really craving, or this is what it's craving, this certain thing? Because I see it that way, you know, I remember how it tastes or the smell, what that craving is for, why it's happening, you know, and ask the body. Someone is asking about monomealing on fruits. My experience monomealing on fruits, I've done a really long mango feast for two months back to California. I had really good access to really good quality mangoes. Oh my God. So I did that. I did monomealing on grapes for like over 40 days. I did Banana Island. That was just like way many years ago. I did like almost 2 weeks, nothing but bananas. So it was a little bit. So, you know, I experienced an amazing improvement in my digestion. I did papaya also like for a week or so. So I like switched. Yeah, I was playing with the fruit. But, you know, now I'm not that aggressive to myself. You know what I mean? It's just like whatever I crave, I just have it. You know, if I crave, I want to show you something. The papaya was waiting for you today to be shown. Look how big.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, my God.
I got four of these from my friend who grows them. And he gave it to me for free. That's why I'm saying the universe is bringing back to you all the love that you're spreading. You know, this looks like a pumpkin. I need to tell you, this smells amazingly, and it's super red inside.
Sorry, I was asking about one meal. Yeah. Oh.
Oh. One meal a day.
Yeah, he was asking about
okay.
Not one meal. Not mono meals. Yeah. Okay, really quickly, what about OMAD on fruit? What about it? Do it. If it feels good, if that's all you need, then that's all you need.
Yeah.
Learn to trust your once your body's clean, you can start to trust what it tells you. If one meal a day does it for you on fruit, well, it does it for you. Great. You don't have to question your body, right? If you're satisfied and feeling good, you do not have to question your body. I'm a stuntman. I work in film. I'll work the whole day, like from 5 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
With nothing, eating, drinking nothing. And I'll get home and I'm like, all right, great. Now food's here. Now I can have dinner, right? Body feels perfectly fine doing that. I'm not going to start adding intellectual guesses and superstitions into the mix if my body is telling me this is very comfortable.
You feed your brain simple sugar, so it runs.
Yeah. I mean, sure. If that's what feels good, do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. Have more food. That's the answer to the question.
You are a great example of the bodybuilder type as well. You know, to show all the men that you can basically thrive on fruits and mm-hmm. and build your body that way as well, you know, which yeah. is amazing. So yeah, I'm very happy that you could join us, you know.
You said something very important in passing a while ago. I didn't say thank you for mentioning it, but you said that once your body trims down and trims the fat, basically, once your body kind of whittles you down to where it wants you to be, it's then that you can start to put on a bit of weight afterward, right? But now it's healthy weight. It's not disease-ridden weight. So that there's a difference there. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much because I do have to get going. No. But the last thing that I wanted to say, because we had chatted about it earlier, if I were, and if I'm in a consultation and I'm recommending a type of diet plan to follow for people, because there are lots of plant-based teachers and educators out there. Maybe you can help us out here too. Who are some of the ones that you would recommend for people to follow? If let's just say you couldn't do what you were doing right now for some reason, I don't know why, but if you couldn't do what you're doing now, who else's approach would you like? And there are a couple of people that I like. I would say, no, I don't know everybody out there. I don't keep up with everybody. From the people that I know, I do like Joel Fuhrman's approach. So let's just say I could offer no input at all to someone I'm consulting. I could say, you know what, go research Joel Fuhrman, read his books, and you'll get a very, very good sense of appropriateness of the diet. And you'll be really, really healthy. So I wouldn't hesitate to recommend people go and check out Joel Fuhrman. Doug Graham, again, Doug Graham is very, very similar to what I do. Sorry, his approach, the 80-10-10, it's very, very similar
Eli, do you trust also the process? Like, okay, sure, weightlifting and exercise and stuff like that. But isn't that how simple it is that the body will adjust the way it looks and all the strength through just basic activities, just being active. Seriously, that's like I do on a daily basis, and I'm super strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like all depends what you wanna, invest that energy in later on, right?
Exactly.
When you are like, because being just active, this is building your posture, this is building everything and your fundament too, right? To make your back stronger and things. So all of that is very very, very important. Okay, we gotta get a lot of other questions, guys. We're gonna respond them next Sunday. We're gonna sit up.
Lauren yes, of course, thank you, Jonas. Yeah, Lauren Lockner.
You continue this. Would you like to add something else?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if Lauren Lockman has, his approach is fantastic. That's basically what I do in my life as well. I'm speaking more of like the conventional plant-based communities and educators, you know, the ones that have the books out there that you can buy and whatnot. So I'm speaking more of the conventional approach. And Lauren Lockman, like myself, is more like, he's more fringe in the sense that he boils everything down to the raw simplicity, much like what I do. So I'm kind of excluding us from the picture and saying if it's just the, you know, the mainstream-ish plant-based educators, who would you go with, right? So I would say Joel Fuhrman, Doug Graham is like kind of in between the Joel Fuhrman and the Lauren Lockman, right? Somewhere in there. And who else? Who else would I recommend? And, you know, if the person what's that? Say it again. Yes, of course, Dr. Greger, even Dr.
Yeah, there's so many, you know, all of these beautiful doctors that are like, you know, in a natural field, and they wanna they base their knowledge on plant-based diet. Everyone is right. There is no wrong, right? Like no wrong approach, because it's all about transition. It's all about experiences, experiencing more and diving deeper into certain things until you're ready for something else. And all of these aspects are helping you on a daily basis to get better. So no matter what, you are great and you're doing amazing, and we are very proud of you. And I hope you guys having your beautiful fruit today, or any fruit juice like we did. And yes, and we'll be talking about other things, so write them down please, and we're gonna answer all your questions next Sunday about the same time like we showed up today, maybe a little sooner, we'll see.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on again. I'm so sorry that I couldn't have you on my Instagram platform, but apparently I'm so low tech that the gods of technology have deemed me unable to host something like this.
No worries. I am happy that my profile is for the rescue. So
so we can
do it here. There will be a time where we're gonna do it again, so no worries.
Yeah.
It's all good, it's all beautiful. I'm happy to just help as many of you as possible, so we will pop up next Sunday. And yeah, awesome. Write down all the questions and see you then.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you so much, Jen. Being here.
Love you guys very much. Thank you for all the questions, and we'll see you on the next week. Okay?
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Ciao, guys.
We love you. Much love. Bye.